You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A new report from the UN University Institute for Water, Environment and Health has outlined the consequences of AI on water, land and carbon emissions. I spoke to Professor Te Kaka Keegan from the University of Waikato, Department of Software Engineering and co-director of the AI Institute, about the report and the cultural impacts of AI for Māori. I started by asking if he could outline the key findings of the report.
Some of the key findings in the report are that the impact of AI is significant on the environment, basically. It used to be that when you're creating AI models, it took a lot of computing power, and it used to be that that was the main impact, that actually computing, the computer power needed to build the models. But from looking at the report, it's become clear that it's not just the building of the models, but it's the running of the models as well. So this is called inference, and like, from a technical perspective, it doesn't take up much energy, but what happens is when thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people are doing it like simultaneously, that's when the computing brain is. So it's the amount of people that are using AI so much that it's starting to become a drain. And that drain is mostly noticed in not so much data centers themselves, but hyper data centers. And the difference between a data center and a hyper data center is basically a data center is like storage, but a hyper data center is where it's the storage of the CPUs. It's where the CPUs are doing all of the compute, and that's what's draining all the energy. The report highlights the difference between a data center in a hyper data center is like about 1,000-fold. The one hyper data center is draining as much energy as 1,000 general data centers. So that's the first and perhaps the most important point of the report, is that the uptake and use of AI is having a significant impact on the environment. So that was the first take of this. The second take that I took, and it kind of surprised me a little bit, was that they have a bunch of tables and a bunch of graphs showing which countries' environmental impact is felt the most. And New Zealand doesn't appear on any of those graphs. And the reason it doesn't appear is obviously because we don't have so many hypercentres located here in New Zealand. So the environmental impact in New Zealand by AI at the moment isn't very significant. But it does serve as a bit of a warning that these things are on the way. And when we're looking at building hyper data centres in New Zealand, we really need to consider the impact that they're going to have on the environment, in terms of water, on our power drainage, ending our connections through to the internet as well.
Obviously, the environmental impact of AI, as outlined in this report, is significant. But in the specific context of Aotearoa, there's also cultural considerations. What are your concerns surrounding the cultural impact of AI as well?
Well, that's the very point as well. Here in Aotearoa, Māori have a higher concern, shall we say, for the environment. The Māori perspective of the environment is a lot more heightened than non-Māori, simply because we have a connection to the environment. It's an ancestor. It's a relation. And so we do our best to look after and protect our ancestors and our relations. So any impact that we're having to the environment is higher from a Māori perspective. And we have some pretty good frameworks. We have some pretty good frameworks to look after our environment. So we have some data governance principles that are set to look after data, but they can also be reapplied to environment. And they can be reapplied because, you know, the priority is sustainability, protection, caring for our environment. So when we see these kinds of impacts happening internationally, from a Māori perspective, we're even more alarmed and we're even more concerned, because we really do strive to protect our environment. You know, if we look after our environment will look after us. So, yeah, it's. I think it's more important here in Aotearoa that we protect our environment, and it's definitely more important from a Māori perspective.
Given these concerns, is it appropriate for Aotearoa to then be building more data centres?
Data centres themselves are okay, and like in certain environments, providing that we're totally aware of all of the ramifications and all of the implications. But hyper data centres are another concern at all. And there's a bunch of things we need to be aware of when it comes to building hyper data centres. So some of the things like we need to be aware of is, what is the complete economic impact? What is the complete environmental impact? What is the sovereignty impact? So there's a bunch of things that we need to be aware of, we need to consider before we can agree to build the larger hyper data centres in Aotearoa.
And on this thread, what are some of these solutions to address the environmental and cultural concerns when it comes to not just data centres, but the use of AI as a whole?
In terms of addressing the issues, the best way to address the issues is to work collaboratively. Work collaboratively with the communities, work collaboratively with Māori. And I think from a Māori perspective, we need to be completely aware, like, what is the water intake? What is the power intake? How many carbon emissions are going to be occurring? What kind of noise pollution is going to be happening? When are the most strange? So there's a whole lot of parameters that need to be considered, but they should be considered in consultation. They should be considered in consultation with local communities. They should be considered in consultation with Māori, because it's the local communities and it's the Māori that have to live with these structures like forever. So the solution is full and proper consultation and full disclosure of everything that's going to be built, everything that's going to occur, those kind of things.
There's been calls for more localised AI solutions, for example, local storage solutions, as opposed to being dependent on the United States or China or these big AI centres. Is this something you've given much thought to?
It's a great comment. This is something I give thought to every day. You're completely right. There is calls for local solutions, for building AI. So that's sovereign AI. Because at the moment, the control of all the AI happens offshore. And so the more we use AI that's controlled offshore, the less independent we become. So we definitely have to be building our own sovereign AI so that we can control the systems that we're using. That's the first thing. The second thing, of course, is local storage solutions. And as Māori, we've been working on that quite a bit recently. So Te Kawiraranga last week announced Te Pātū Wata Wata. So Te Pātū Wata Wata is a Māori storage solution where all of the data storage is occurring under Māori, or like on Māori lands, on Māori servers under Māori control. So storage within Te Pātū Wata Wata cannot be accessed by external entities, cannot be accessed by the US government, cannot be accessed by the New Zealand government. So local storage solution that is sovereign, that is controlled locally, but most important is secured locally. Definitely we need to be building sovereign solutions. We have the capability here in Aotearoa to be doing that, and that's a solution for all of the things that this report has identified. Let's build it ourselves, let's own it ourselves, let's control it ourselves, let's protect it ourselves.
I also spoke to Professor Nirmal Nair from the University of Auckland Faculty of Engineering about how the report applies to a local context. I started by asking about his key takeaways from the report.
Well, this particular report is from a UN body, right? And the way I see it, it's just speculating on potential secondary and tertiary impacts, right? Particularly across countries. They have identified 20 countries which are building up data center infrastructure, and New Zealand is not one of them listed there yet, right? So it just talks about secondary and tertiary impacts, right? Because I come from electrical, computer, and software engineering department. So this AI is just built on those stacks there, right? So, yeah, so my initial take on that is it's just trying to correlate with the electricity side of the business, because AI infrastructure is powered by electricity, right? So, and it's looking at those 20 countries and where do they get their electricity from and things like that, right? And then they look at the other aspects about that particular infrastructure which is being built in those countries. So this is just for us as a bellwether for New Zealand to watch out, you know, if we were to embark on, you know, AI data center infrastructure here at Aotearoa.
As you said, New Zealand is not included in the report, but what relevance do you think it has to here?
It depends whether we just want to be technology takers. We are at the bottom of the globe, and do we really want to be part of this emerging, fast emerging technologies of AI, right? So currently in New Zealand, we have electricity, of course, right? We're the oldest in the southern hemisphere. We electrified the first place in Reefton when we were, you know, digging gold 140 years ago. We got caught up with the world for computers as well and for software as well so far. But the software space, I think it got kind of merged up with who were providing those software services, and that became global, right? So this AI would follow on a similar lines. So New Zealand will be definitely, you know, we will be connected for AI services, but do we want to be part of this development cycle of using AI, which is showed up within our, you know, our country?
You've discussed how we need to have a wider conversation about the costs and benefits of AI here, but in practical terms, what would this conversation look like and who needs to be involved?
I have been here for quite a long time, and I think the two common pieces I responded, I think once it was when ChatGPT was released in 2024, and then quite recently there was an investment decision about a Southland data center, you know, plans to build a data center. The public mood is being really cautious, and we are not spoken about, you know, if you don't build a data center as an infrastructure, what are the pluses and minuses? So I think we need to have an honest conversation with the engineers and things like that, which we built. And we have to go back to our history of, you know, building one of the biggest electricity generation plant in Manapouri, a dam where we didn't even have a load. So what did we choose? We went the Norwegian way. We went to, you know, smelt aluminium, for example, right? That's a large load. And if you actually look at electricity load, the largest electricity consumption is for smelting, you know, bauxite to aluminium. So we don't need to get scared by other countries about, you know, the fragility of our electricity system or something like that. So sometimes we miss the conversation a little bit. And I think we need to have an honest conversation about electricity first, and also about energy, right? So these are two different things, carbon-based energy. And I think this might be the right time for us to kind of talk that through. And on top of it, I think AI part, that's just a developmental cycle associated with it, right? So I think we need to have an honest conversation about addressing complex technical issues and what its impacts and secondary impacts are. So I think that's what I was trying to talk about. And we can't have a kind of a political football, right? Electricity, and then, you know, we mix things, issues up, right? So I think we need to have an honest conversation about, electricity system is pretty secure. It's resilient. I'm absolutely confident about that. But only 30% of our energy comes from electricity, right? So the other 70 is from carbon-based fuels and things like that. And AI is much more around how we use, how we are digitally connected. And we have been using it for 30 years, right? And the very fact that we are communicating through digital means right now is a simple example of it. And even during our pandemic years, right? So we know how to live with it and how to keep us safe. So I think in these issues, we need to be careful about jumping on to some new technology. So AI seems to be a big issue, but I think some of the concerns around privacy and forming a moat is real. I agree with that. But if we want to continue with the way we are using these digital resources, the free internet, which we have, as you might have seen, the free internet has led to misinformation and things like that, challenges and how to use it. But AI would kind of decouple that. It might come out as a totally different infrastructure on top of it, right? So I think we need to have, we need to educate people about the opportunities of AI along with the fears of AI. So that's what I was trying to talk about. And we need to understand what the primary impacts are. To those 20 countries, if you have a look at those 20 countries, apart from four countries, which is Canada, France, Sweden, and Switzerland, all the other countries are 90% or more. The electricity system is carbon-based, right? Even Australia is in that list. That's simply because they are not coupling their buildup of their AI infrastructure for training and service needs with electricity, right? So I don't know what the social license to those places are. I would have thought in New Zealand, it would be pretty easy for us to communicate. That's where I was trying to talk about having, an honest conversation.
What do you think about the way the government is currently embracing AI, generative AI, and I'm thinking particularly in the public service?
I don't think it has become widespread. That's just my gut feel. I'm not in the government. But one of the aspects, the workings of the government, let us put it that way, in the last 30, 40 years has been highly digitalized, right? We rely a lot on communicating with our government, interacting with our government, and so on. So the bureaucracies, the policies, the interaction has been through this digital infrastructure. But we fail to forget, we kind of forget blissfully that it is through this free internet, right, which was actually a national defense project in the US, the ARPA-E, 1970. So we got used to it, just like electricity, we got used to, those digital services. But what has led in the last 20, 30 years is there's a lot of digital, job growth, process growth, things like that. And our service economy has really boomed. And if you can look at the new jobs right now, it's much more, heavily reliant on digital. So I think the government is trying to weigh those fears of job losses, things like that, and reshaping itself and resizing itself, or maybe, kind of arming itself, or all its employees and things like that, and politicians as well, with that AI knowledge, right? And I think the conversation seems okay, and in our MMP political cycle, right, I think some of the aspects of job losses which are being talked about might really not be because of AI, but just because of the way things are structured. So these conversations I'm hearing from public media, but I'm not really privy to, the government workings. So, but I'm optimistic, right? At least our voices do carry forward, and we are a small community of 5 million people.
That was Professor Te Kaka Keegan from the University of Waikato and Professor Nirmal Nair from the University of Auckland on a new UN University report on the environmental impacts of AI.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.